You could live in Beverly Hills. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you are dead. Now listen, you're not ill. You're not think I'm dying. If you are outside of Christ, before we were born again, we were stone cold, spiritually dead.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, it's great to have you tuning in today, and once again, we welcome you. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues a study in the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. Pastor has titled this next message, The Way We Were. Let's listen in.
Ephesians chapter 2, as you already know, this section is so vital and so important. You know, what's wonderful is we did turn to Ephesians chapter 2. A.T. Pearson called Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he called it Paul's third heavenly epistle. Isn't Ephesians a great study? You know, knowing that we're chosen and accepted and adopted and sealed with the Spirit of God, that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? See, before we ever get over into chapter 4, which is now leaving the doctrinal stage, walking out the doctrine, if you will, man, it's so vital this morning and for every day of our life that we understand doctrine. You know, just the teaching of God's Word, knowing what we believe and why we believe it, where we can stand upon the rock of the Word of God. Amen? The Bible, as we already have told you, as you already know, chapters 1, 2, 3, they are doctrinal. They tell us all that we are, our position in Christ. And this right here is so vital because it establishes you, it supports you in your walk. And if you don't know chapters 1, 2, and 3, believe them, understand them, then you know what's going to happen? When you get to chapter 4 where it says that I beseech you that you walk worthy of your calling. How can you walk worthy of something you don't know? See, God tells us who we are in Christ for three chapters before he ever asks us to do one thing. Amen? And to walk worthy, I mean, you know, means, remember the word worthy, as I've already told you, is a set of scales, a picture. And one side is doctrine, the other side is walking out our doctrine or putting it into practice or application. So equal in doctrine, equal in application, that is a balanced walk. Amen? See, if you just walk it out without knowing doctrine, it's not going to be balanced, loved one. So it's vital that this morning is that we important that we embrace these things. So doctrine is vitally important. Let me just give you one verse or two verses. It says in Titus 1:9, holding fast to the faithful word, as he has been taught, here it comes, that he may be able by sound doctrine. The word sound means healthy doctrine, healthy teaching. We get our word, believe it or not, we get our word hygiene from the Greek word there. So sound doctrine, both to exhort, that means to encourage and teach, he says, and convict those who contradict, meaning who contradict God's doctrine, the word of God. See, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. If not, look at chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 14, and look what Paul says. He says that we should no longer be little children, little bitty babies. We need to grow up, in other words. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Deceitful plotting. Those who, by their own ingenuity, and of course, deceiving spirits, what they do then is they invent error. They're always fleecing. They're never feeding the sheep of God. Now listen to me. Satan loves immature Christians who do not understand who they are in Christ. Do you understand? He loves that because you don't know if you're secure or not because you don't know who you are. That's why chapter 1, that you're chosen and blessed and all the rest of that, accepted in the blood. Loved one, you know now who you are. Amen? Man, and you need to hold on to that, that God chose you in Christ before time ever began, before the foundation of this world. You need to hold on to that, and you need to embrace that and ask the Spirit of God, if you don't get it, to Holy Spirit, reveal that to me. Man, make me understand it. If you don't, Again, how can we, when we get to chapter 4, we won't be able to walk worthy. Listen, Jesus told us in John 8, 31, 32, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And the truth, the doctrine of God's word, the truth shall make you free. And that's exactly what we want. Now listen, verses 1, 2, and 3, they don't do much for our self-esteem, okay? But it's vital that we go back and we really look at our condition, what we were, okay? You know, before we came to Christ Jesus our Lord. It tells the condition of every person that's ever born in Adam. If they don't have Christ Jesus, oh man, they are in trouble, deep trouble. A condition so horrible, so hideous, so ugly. Only the grace of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, the exhausting riches of God can change us. No one else, only God. And so as we look at what we used to be, thank God we're not that anymore, Paul is doing something. After telling them in those incredible verses of chapter 1 who they are in Christ Jesus, these Gentile believers in Ephesus, he now wants to make sure they really get it. And he wants to take them back to what they used to be, the way we were, for example, you know, before we came to Christ Jesus. And if we don't understand that, then we're going to be a bunch of grace abusers, which is rampant in the church today, because we think that, well, there was something in me that God, oh, I got to have that guy. No. Amen. There was nothing good in us. The Bible says in Romans, no, there was not anyone that doeth good. No, not one. They're just in trouble because we were in Adam. So we never, if we're going to understand God's grace, then we have to understand our sin. And that's very important, that we are sinners saved only by the grace of God through believing. Amen. So that's so vital that we understand that this morning. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and he uses that word, and. He says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, in your Bible, if depending on the version that you have, the words he made alive, are they in italics? Okay, that means they're not in the original language, in the Greek, okay? They're not there at all. So the translators, they added that to smooth it out, to make it more palatable for our understanding. But let's read it without that, if you don't mind. And you, talking about the Ephesians and us and every generation, and you who were dead in trespasses and sin. The conjunction and is a very important. What that conjunction does, it takes us back to the closing verses in chapter 1 where Paul is talking about that Jesus is the sole head of the universe, the sole head of the church, and that God has raised him from the dead by his power. Amen? So this connects us, the last verses of chapter 1 connect us with the first 10 verses in chapter 2. Now, with all that being said, he wants us to know that the same power that did that, raised Christ from the dead, is the same power that raised you from the dead, meaning spiritually dead, amen? And that made you new creations because you trusted in Christ. Now, the way we were before Jesus Christ, look at that word, dead. Do you understand? I mean, you could have been a millionaire. You could have had, I forget the movie star's name, so forget it. That tan of that famous movie star. You know, he's always tan. What is his name? George something. Thank you. Hallelujah. Send that man to Hawaii. No. George Hamilton. It's going to be an interesting service. No, I mean, you know, you could live in Beverly Hills. You know, you could drive a Rolls Royce. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you are dead. Now listen, you're not ill. You're not, I think I'm dying. No, loved one. You're not even almost dead. If you are outside of Christ, before we were born again, we were stoned, cold, spiritually dead and alienated from God, outside of the covenant of God. As it says, we'll learn in a couple of weeks, without hope and without strength, we were dead. Amen? See, we need to remember that. We need to remember what it was really like. Some of us have been believers so long that we can't even remember what it was like to be lost. You can't remember the hurt, the shame, or the why you did what you did, and then, okay, I did it, but it's okay. I deserve it. Selfishness or tell a lie and didn't bother you or did whatever you did. You understand? Okay, we got to be honest, loved one. Man, when I look back, I go, oh, I'm so glad that I'm not that way anymore. But I couldn't do it in my own power. I had to be born from above, and so did you. And you know what we did back then before we came to Christ? We went through all the wonderful activities of life. We went on vacations. We got married maybe, or whatever we did before we knew the Lord. Maybe we're raising our children. We did all the activities of life, but we had absolutely no spiritual life. Does that make sense? See, we were dead. And I don't know if you know this or not, but dead people do not react, do they? No, listen, not at all, especially to the things of God. See, the natural man is a dead man. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, let me read it to you. But the natural man, the man in Adam, the old man, the dead man, he says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. They don't seem to be foolishness to him. They are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them or comprehend them because they are spiritually discerned. The incredible mystery of comprehension. You've heard a million times people say, before they were born again, well, I read the Bible, tried to read the Bible. I didn't get one thing out of it. Do you understand? Well, the natural man can't get anything out of it because the Bible's not a natural book. It's a supernatural book, and that is a book that only the Spirit can open up and make it alive for you. But see, when you're dead in trespasses and sins, you are totally alienated from God. Every person that has ever been born, when they start out in life, they are born in Adam, amen? They can't help it, but they're in Adam, and they're born spiritually dead. No matter how cute that little baby is, they're in Adam. Boy, people don't like to hear that, I know. No, listen. The Bible, Jesus said in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, meaning natural man, dead man, those in Adam. And which was born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the new birth. Jesus said in John 6:33, he said, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The natural man, the dead man, lives as if Jesus doesn't exist. Heaven's not really real, that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that the Bible is not really, it's just a myth or a fairy tale, and they can't help it. They're natural, man. They were born in Adam. They're dead. Now, dead men, dead women can be good people, honest people. They can be loving people, hardworking people. You know what I mean? We weren't a bunch of animals before we were born again, I hope. No, but you know, the fact of the battle is that a dead person, for example, how many times, think back in your life, might I pray it wasn't several times, but it might have been, it was for me. How many times did people tell you about Jesus and you just, get away from me? You know, I mean, you were kind to them maybe, or no thank you, or no, if I walked into the church it would fall down, you know, that kind of nonsense, you know. No, it's just filled with hypocrites, preachers just want your money. Now, with all that being said, dead men, no, the reason you didn't accept that immediately, I mean, who wouldn't want to go to heaven instead of hell? Do you get it? Well, why would you reject heaven? Well, are you kidding? I'm a dead man. I can't receive the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. The only thing that a dead person can welcome into their heart, into their lives, into their minds are the things of the world. Why? They are dead. That's what we were. That's what we used to be. Thank God we're not that way anymore. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. So the life of a non-Christian is really it's just a living death. Unknowingly, they don't know that they do this. I didn't know either. Unknowingly, I love the world. Unknowingly, I live for the world. Unknowingly, I took joy in darkness and didn't know that it was wrong. Do you understand? I was dead. I was a natural man. You know, I loved darkness, but I would have never called it darkness. I would have called it Miss Bill's way. You know, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but it only leads to death. Amen? So that's how we lived. And I had no idea that I was a dead person. Listen, you can go on your way home. I don't think you should do this, but in case you're doubting me, you know, or doubting God's word, on the way home, you know, after you leave Luby's and after you've prayed over that food, you know, and you leave Luby's and you're on your way home, stop at any funeral home in Fort Worth. and go into the visiting room. It's okay if you love people and so forth. And I want you to lean over to that person that is dead and tell them all about Jesus. Tell them anything you want. Matter of fact, you can start shouting. You can start doing any kind of dance. You can do anything that you want to do. I don't know where that came from. You understand what I'm saying? And the loved one, listen to me now. They're not going to respond. Why? They are dead. And that is the sad state of every person on this earth that is outside Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. They don't know that they are dead, and we didn't know that we were dead. Look at the reason why there in verse 1 again. And you, he made alive who were dead in what? In trespasses and sins. See, we weren't alive to God, but man, were we alive to sin? Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews that sin has pleasure, but it's only for a season, loved one. So those trespasses that we were walking in other words, stepping over the line of God, turning aside from God, going down our own path instead of God's path, or the trespasses and sin. Sin means missing the mark. And the mark was, of course, the perfect righteousness of God. And we didn't have that at all. We were dead. And we were dead in sin. So verse 1 takes us all the way back to the garden. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Satan entered in and he tempted them. You know the whole story. I don't have time to go into all of that. But it takes us back then when Adam, of his own volition, Eve was deceived. Adam sinned. He knew. Do you understand? He knew. Then Satan became the authority. Listen, the moment that Adam did that, it says in Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? All men sinned. You see, Adam is the federal head of the human race. Amen? Okay, we all came from Adam. We didn't have a choice. We were born in the Adam's family. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. So we now, he spiritually died when he sinned, and now we're born. When we're born, we're spiritually dead too because we have that fallen nature. So the result of one sin through one man, we all sinned. Now listen carefully. We are not dead because of any sin we committed. We are dead because of the sin he committed. Does that make sense? That's why death came. And then all of a sudden, our nature has changed. When you're born into this life, you come into this life, have you ever noticed that nature that's in your child? In other words, they're never selfish, are they? They never want their own way. They never take toys from their siblings. They do what? Yes, mama. Yes, daddy. They never tell a lie. Come on. You know that. Listen, why did they do that? You don't have to teach them how to lie. You have to teach them how not to lie. Amen? Why? That nature, that dead in trespasses and sins. Now look at the rest of it. There's more. In which you are once walked, look how we walked, according to the course of this world. That was the habitual lifestyle of us. That's how we lived, the living dead. The word walked there means to live, to conduct one's behavior, or conduct one's life. So it was an habitual behavior of a fallen nature, a dead person outside of Christ, and look how they lived. According to the course of this world, you didn't know it, and I didn't know it. And those that are dead out there right now, they don't know it either. The course of the world. The word course is a very interesting word. It literally means and speaks of domination and control. In other words, to be dominated, a dead person is dominated and controlled by the impulses, the hopes, and the mood swings of the world that they live in any generation. Trench put it this way. He said all of the floating mass of thoughts and opinions and aims of this current world. Whether we like it or not, we were, before we came to Christ, we were dominated and controlled by the values of this world and really did not even know it at all. Whatever the world said was right or wrong in the given generation, you understand, we live by. And that's just the way it was. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, Paul gives us a command. He says, do not be conformed to this world. The world, as J.B. Phillips says, wants to squeeze us into its mold. It wants us to act like the world, live like the world, think like the world. The devil wants to shape your thinking. He does not want God to shape your thinking. That's why it continues and says, and be renewed in your mind. Yeah, transform. The Word of God transforms our mind, loved one. So do not be controlled. Do not be dominated. Do not be conformed to this world. Loved one, I don't know if you know it or not, but if you've been a Christian any length of time, you know that the voice of the world, they are in perfect unity, and they all use that word, be like us. They love the word conform. Dead people easily conform to the world because they're dealing with other people who are in the world too, who are spiritually dead. The word there, conform, comes from the root word schemes. It means to don't follow the schemes of this world. If we are honest with ourselves, and if you have been a Christian, really, any length of time, a year at least, I mean, it's amazing how the world dominates and controls people, isn't it? I mean, let's just do something very simple. You know, I was getting a haircut the other day, and you know, when you go to the barbershop, they have these magazines there, and there's one for like women's hairstyles. That book was that thick. I mean, I didn't realize those things existed. I was going, my gosh, who invents all this? Do you understand? You think Paul and his family? I don't know, but never mind. But listen, think about it. I mean, the fashion world. I mean, you know, they tell us what to wear. You know, it's like I mentioned a couple of Sundays back, you know, those skinny pants. Can't you just buy pants anymore that are a little bulky? I mean, you know, I don't like to feel like I can't breathe and look like the green bean giant or whatever you call that guy. You know, skinny legs and all. God, make me look like I'm Hulk or something, you know. All these crazy clothes. Well, where does that come from? Doesn't come from heaven. Oh, no, the world tells us how to dress, how to live. That's what they want to do. They want to squeeze you into the mold. They tell you to go down to Macy's, if they're still in business, I don't know. Go down to Macy's and look at those skinny jeans. Look at those rips. You know, they're only $175. I have some at my house, and I will rip them for free, you know. And you can buy them for $75, okay? What happened? Now, who comes up with that junk? You know, who comes, the world being conformed. I mean, think about it. Oh, man, those jeans, and look at the new tat. Ooh, ah. Where did that come from? You say, Bill, are you saying I'm in trouble if I have a tattoo? I'm not. If you want, you know, when you get old, that tattoo sags. Yeah, that's right. You're going to think about, where is the laser? You know. Now, listen, I'm not beating anybody up, but you know, in my generation, when I was a young man, if a person had a tattoo, they were either a sailor, a criminal. Why? Because we live in a world that is dead. And guess what? The world, the spirit of the world, conforms dead people to the spirit of the world in every generation, but every generation, they're what they think is right or what they think is wrong, and their values, they change. Amen? Now, back when like I said, tats were not cool. You have them today, it's like, hey, this is my new one. Hey, look here. Wow, yeah, you see. And I'm not beating anybody up, sinner, but you know I'm teasing you. I love you, man. I'd never quote Leviticus about marking up your body at this church, but I'm making all this to make a point. Do you see what I'm getting at? How easy it is, how smooth, how subtle. You know, the Bible tells us in the command in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or love the things in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The word world there doesn't mean the trees, the plants, and the rivers and all that. It means that antichrist system that's against God, doesn't recognize God, wants to live independent from God, and doesn't want anything to do with God and what is good. That's the world that we live in. And loved one, that was the world we were once a part of, but not anymore.
Once again, we're out of time, but you can hear the remainder of this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.